You know, the reason I mentioned how, you know, it really just bothered me that some of those executives wanted this lady from Tennessee to change her accent is because I want to point out that's my response with regards to people being, you know, critical of Hispanics speaking Spanish in public. I've heard Hispanics speak Spanish in public many times, and my natural and automatic response was, wow, that sounds great. I didn't know what they were saying, but I was listening to the way they were talking. The language sounded great, but what also sounded great to me was so often when I hear Hispanics speak with each other in their native language, they seem to speak with so much liveliness and vitality and energy. And that is fascinating to me. I tell you, I really enjoy hearing them speak in their native language. But, and I know that there are many other people who enjoy hearing them speak in their native language as well. It goes without saying, though, that not everyone shares that sentiment. And so, well, the challenge continues. We'll look some more into what the Hispanics are saying about what they think and what they feel about being Hispanic in America at a time when, really and truly, hatred, hostility, malice are really being expressed more openly and more viciously than in a long, long time. And remember, it really did not start when Donald Trump went into the White House. The argument could be made that the undergirdings for that began when George W. Bush was in the White House. Things really got bad when Barack Obama won the presidency. And we began to see and hear viciousness like we had not observed it in a long time. People hanging various black people, including our former president, Barack Obama, in effigy. People, and not just white people either, black people who have a problem with social justice, going out and making sure, oh, we got to get our guns, because they're sure going to try to take our guns from us now. That was never, ever part of the discussion of any Democrat, including Barack Obama. All kinds of hatred being expressed in ways that we had not seen in a long time. And remember, that's when we had conservatives carrying their guns, including assault weapons, openly to town hall meetings. Not because they felt threatened. Not because anyone threatened them. Not because they felt threatened. Not because they perceived a threat. But they were the ones issuing the threats. That ethnic hatred, hostility, malice took on a new life when our black president was in the White House. And then when Donald Trump went into the White House, we have seen it taken to another height, another level, another level of intensity, of hatred and malice. As our president Donald Trump announces for the entire world to hear that he is a nationalist and more. We'll look into that some more, seeing how things will be going during the remainder of the Trump presidency. Well, maybe that's how it'll be going. We'll certainly get a feel for what Latinos are saying up to this point. In the meantime, where are we headed with regards to social and political issues in light of the fact that, according to Pew Research, Generation Z looks a lot like millennials on key social and political issues. Where is the nation headed? Remember now, boomers will not be in positions of authority forever. At some point, Generation Z, the millennials, will be the ones making the decisions. No longer the new kids on the block, millennials have moved firmly into their 20s and 30s. And a new generation is coming into focus, Generation Z. They're diverse, and they're on track to be the most well-educated generation yet. And according to the reports, they're moving towards adulthood with a liberal set of attitudes and an openness to emerging social trends. On a range of issues, from Donald Trump's presidency to the role of government to racial equality and climate change, the views of Generation Z, people age young, true enough, but nevertheless significant, ages 13 to 21 in 2018, mirror those of millennials. In each of these realms, the two younger generations hold views that differ significantly from those of their older counterparts. In most cases, members of the silent generation are at the opposite end, and baby boomers and Generation Xers fall in between. Kind of early right now to say with certainty how the views of this new generation will evolve. Again, they're very young. In fact, most have yet to reach voting age, and their outlook could be altered considerably by changing national conditions, world events, or technological innovations, not to mention the fact that you have a lot of training going on by people with particular political bents, and they like to recruit, train, get people to think the way they think. And they very often reach out to the young to recruit them. So it's anyone's guess as to where Generation Z will be 10 years from now, say. But even so, two new Pew Research Center surveys, one of U.S. teens ages 13 to 17, one of adults ages 18 and older, provide some compelling clues about where they may be headed and how their views could impact the nation's political landscape. Let's begin to take a look at that when I come back.